Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr. And just checking in on you here on a Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast. What's going on? How are you? Don't I sound chipper today? You know why? Because I go to the gym every day. It's just become a part of me life. And if you don't want to be a fatty, well, you go to that gym every day, you cunt. We really mean it. Actually, I've just been eating right. And old Billy Booze Face, the old redheaded booze bag. I haven't drank in 4 days, and I feel great. You know why? Because it's the morning. When you don't drink, you feel great in the morning. When you don't drink, you feel horrific at night. You can hear the fucking clock ticking. And you're just trying to fall asleep. I almost picked up a book last night. Anything to get me to fall asleep. And I'll tell you, nothing makes me fall asleep like reading a book. I don't know how these fucking nerds do it. They can just sit there all goddamn day reading a book. These fucking idiots, they'll jump on a goddamn unicycle and they're still reading the book. Not a unicycle, an elliptical. There you go. One of those things where your legs are moving, but you're not. Well, technically you are, but you're not going anywhere. It's a metaphor. Life is like an elliptical machine. It goes round and round, but do you ever get anywhere? You know, next thing you know, there's some fucking nerd with glasses blowing you. And you're like, you know what? I like this life of being a poet. All I need is an itchy sweater and let this beard grow out. And I think I got something going on here. So I haven't drank in like 4 days. I'm on the wagon. All right. I got the Montreal Comedy Festival coming up. That's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to lie to you. That is going to be a tough one. Being up there with all my buddies, telling a little knock knock who's there over there, and not drinking afterwards. But I can get through it, you know. I had one cigar this week only because I had one left over from my July 4th cookout that I had. And they were so fucking amazing. I had to smoke it. I couldn't fucking throw it out. I don't even know how to say the name of this fucking thing. Let's see. It looks like Hupman or H. Upman. I can't tell. It looks like there's a little dot there. My eyes are going here. Habana Cuba. This fucking cigar was one of those cigars. As I was lighting it, I was lighting the thing and did the first couple of, you know, to get it going. And I went, oh my God. I was by myself sitting on my front porch. And I said out loud, oh my God, to nobody. It already tasted like the middle of the cigar on a great cigar. And that was me just lighting it. And I sat out there, no booze. I actually like something sweet, you know, with my cigar. I'm not one of those guys that wants to have a smoky whiskey with it. It's like redundant. You already got smoke in your mouth, then you got that. And sometimes I don't mind it, but I like something sweet with my cigar, which is why I usually hang out with Joe DeRosa when I smoke. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. That right there, that was a zinger. Well, on my old buddy Joe DeRosa. Joe's got a little sugar in his tank. He can't help it. Anyways, I've been working out and I already knocked off a couple of pounds. First day I had the weigh-in, you know, the big before picture. I went up there like a fucking hairless seal, an albino seal. I couldn't even move my legs at that point. I just fucking went up on a scale, you know, and 186.6, which wasn't bad because I was pushing 190, and I got on the scale this morning. I was a 184.6. I dropped a couple pounds. First week's always easy because your body is so used to you just being such a cunt, you know, drinking whiskey while ordering cake. And all of a sudden, if you just have one bowl of oatmeal, it's such a shock to your system that you'll actually drop a couple pounds. Unfortunately, after a week, they're like, the body's just like, oh, so this is the new game. This is the new game. Because you're thinking like, well, shit, I'm going to drop 2 pounds every 4 days. I'll be in shape by August 1st. And then what happens? Huh? Another 6 days goes by and you lost like half a pound. You know, and that's when you got to man up and not become depressed and bury your face in a bag of Cheetos. So anyway, so I'm just bringing all of this shit up to you guys. So you guys will be checking in on me the way I check in on you, you know? Because if I get off it, you know I'm going to get off it because I won't talk about it anymore. And then you can be like, hey, there, fat face. What's the matter? What's the matter? Is that scale going in the wrong direction there? I actually did a spot at the Comedy Store the other night. I had a great time. And I came home. I hadn't looked at my Twitter account in a couple of days. And I went on there and somebody said that they were there and they could tell I was drinking. They said I was a fat fuck. I'm not going to lie to you. It really hurt. And I said it to Nia. She goes, oh, that's mean. Why would they do that? I go, you know what? They're doing me a favor. They're doing me a favor. Came from a place of love. And even if it came from a place of hate, it probably just has to do with the fact that they don't like their dad or some shit, or they got beaten in gym class. I don't know what it is. Or maybe I said something that they don't like. So anyway, speaking of stand-up, that was fucking brutal what happened to Amy Schumer, watching them go after her about a joke 2 years ago. She told a joke 2 fucking years ago. How do you tell a joke and it takes somebody 2 years to get fucking offended by it? You know what I mean? I don't fucking understand that. For two fucking years, it's not a... Why all of a sudden is it... Oh, that's right. That's right. She has a giant movie coming out. This is a critical part of her career. Going from comedian, TV star, to now movie star. Like, that movie's going to... You can see some movies you just know. Like, I don't want to jinx it. But that movie looks like it's going to be a smash, right? So these fucking cunts... They know that there you go. There you go. You got something to lose, and then they go in and they bully you. That's just the fucking worst, you know? That's just the fucking worst. And then you got to apologize for something you fucking said to. And then, yeah, there's this dead jerk off in the Washington Post is like, and I know it's a joke, but like that doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, it does. It completely fucking matters. It totally fucking matters. Like, there's no difference between actually meaning it and joking around. Like, what world do you fucking live in? I'm just beside myself with that thought process. And this fictional power that they think comedians have. Like, as if somebody walks in to a comedy show not racist. And then they sit down and then they hear a joke and then they're like, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm racist. You know, or vice versa. They walk in racist and then you say something and then you have the ability to change their fucking minds to not be racist. If comedians really had that power, what we did would be fucking illegal. Because the government wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't have, you couldn't fucking have that kind of power. Can you imagine if you just walked on stage and just said shit and then people just went out and did it and they completely changed for the rest of their life. That's it. Hey, you guys got to start eating right. Do some sit-ups and get yourself a six-pack. And everybody in the crowd just, okay, and gets up and does it. It's ridiculous. People are going out to a comedy club to just blow off some steam, have a good time, have a couple of drinks, and laugh. All right? And if you don't like a joke, you don't like a joke. But the comic doesn't owe you a fucking apology. You know what I mean? You just didn't like that joke. And it is a joke, despite how you took it. So go fuck yourself. And comedians, stop apologizing. Please, for the love of fucking God, stop fucking apologizing, because all you're doing is you're just building up these paper tigers. This is unreal. This is like, it's like I thought we already went through all this Lenny Bruce, George Carlin getting arrested shit. Are we heading back towards it? Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. Anyways, and think about the shit that I say on this fucking podcast, huh? How come nobody ever gets offended by this shit? You know why? Because I don't have a movie coming out. That is the genius. That is the genius of being under the radar. You're not going to get any traction getting offended by me. You got to wait. I got that F is for family. I'm predicting right now that F is for family. When that shit comes out, somebody's going to be like, in a podcast in 2010. But only if it's a hit. Only if it's a hit show. Fucking ridiculous. It doesn't matter if it's a joke or not. It doesn't matter if you were serious or not. Oh, okay. Is that how the world works? A lot of these people that complain about that, especially the racial jokes, they just reek of people that, like, you really just only hang out with people in your cul-de-sac. Because anybody who has, like, like a wide variety of friends. The shit that we say to each other about each other's races and nationalities, and it's fucking hilarious. Like, you totally joke around about food, stereotypes, all of that shit, all the fucking time. These people, they just have like a list of fucking words. Like, these words are all good, these words are all bad. All right, Bill, shut the fuck up. We get it. Okay. All right, cool. So anyways, I had to go to the doctor this week, right? Knee has been getting on me. I got in my leg, I got this varicose vein on my calf. It's not bugging me or anything, but it's starting to look a little gnarly. You know what I mean? And she goes, why don't you have somebody go down and take a look at it? It's like, I'm not having somebody cut open my fucking leg. And she goes, no, they just inject something in there. Fucking, you know, the vein collapses and you're good. So I go, all right, fuck it. I'll go down there. So I call up these people. It's a 1-800 number. They got like 12 different fucking locations around the country. I'm like, it already doesn't seem reputable to me. So I call them up and they're like, yeah, you know, blah. And they go, what's your name? Where do you live? And I go, why do you need to know where I live? I don't want you to know where I live. I'm going down there. Well, we need to know for the billing of insurance. I go, I have shitty insurance. I don't have good insurance. All right. I know I'm going to give you my insurance card. You're going to say, we don't take that. And then I'm going to have to pay for it. So I'm just going to pay cash. Why do you need to know where I live? And she goes, because that's part of our policy. And I go, why? She goes, I just told you why. I go, no, you didn't. You just said it's part of your policy. I want to know why that's part of your policy. She just kept going, I just told you why. I go, no, you didn't. So finally she gets her fucking supervisor. And no, we need an address. So you know what I did? I just gave him a fake address, which is what I'm doing from now on. Just give him a fake address. I gave it to him. And then I go down there. I show up at the doctor's office and they never said, hey, your address didn't check out. They didn't. So now it's great, too. I got that misinformation out there about where I live when they go to sell it to some other corporation. So I walk in there and, you know, there's two ladies on the phone. One youngin, one about in her 30s. The young one's got like jeans, like ripped jeans on and stuff like that. And, you know, I walk up and there's two fucking clipboards to sign in and they're both on the phone. So I just sign in on the one in front of the ripped jeans girl. Right. So I go and I sit down and she gets off the phone. She looks at me and then she goes with her index finger, like, come here. You know what I mean? And I stand up and then I'm like, wait, did she just summons me over like a fucking toddler? And I walk up and she goes, do you have an appointment? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, what's your name? I'm like, William Burr. She goes, oh, you must be at the other office. And she points to the lady next to her. She goes, we're two separate offices. And I go, oh, all right. So then I talk to the 35-year-old chick. And meanwhile, this the young girl gets on the phone. She picks up. She's like, where the hell are you guys? God, I'm starving. Are you going there right now? Oh, I'm going to kick your ass. Like, this isn't like a medical office. So they tell me to fill out the whole form. I start filling out the form. Then they go, we need to see your driver's license. I go, for what? They go, well, we need to make a copy of it. I go, no, you're not making a copy of my driver's license. You can look at it. Here it is. Here's my face. But you're not making a copy of it. And just, she goes, well, that's what we do. I go, what do you do with the copy? And she goes, it stays here in the office. I go, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I go, why do you need a copy? I don't understand. So she goes, let me check with my manager. And she, you know, and then she comes back and says, yeah, we need a copy of your driver's license. You never needed this shit beforehand, by the way. All this fucking slowly moving us towards microchips or everywhere I go in, and your papers, please. And everybody's got to know fucking, you know, I'm not giving you my driver's license, my fucking driver's license number on it and shit. Go fuck yourself. It's fucking this. You're in a strip mall. I'm not giving you a fucking copy of my driver's license. So anyway, she says, yeah, I just talked to my boss. She says, we need a copy of your driver's license. So I go, why? And then the little fucking half a cutie pie there fucking chimes in. She goes, because of blah, 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 blah. And I just look at her and I go, you don't work here. And she put her head down and mumbled something. It just fucking made my day. There's nothing worse than when a 6 thinks she's a 10. She was such a fucking dope. I'm not going to lie to you. She was cute, but she thought she was the fucking shit, and she wasn't. It was just the way she was talking on the phone, how she was like so over the fucking job. It's like, you're a fucking dope. You're a fucking dope. I don't know who you know that gave you this fucking job, but I've been in here for 6 minutes and you suck at it. You fucking suck at it. So anyways, so I go, all right, so you need a copy of my driver's license. I go, all right, fine. I go, give me the clipboard. So I take the clipboard with all the information I wrote down and I just fucking folded it up and I just walked out. I should have said no dirty looks because I know that fucking little twat was probably giving me a dirty look, but that's the fucking, you know, sitting here having this fucking dope cursing into the goddamn telephone. And then I'm comfortable with you injecting something into my body. Get the fuck out of here. The whole thing just felt shady. You know, when I first got there, there was this fucking guy from like Transylvania. He came out with just like a t-shirt on, and I'm looking like, is this the doctor? Did this guy just fix the radiator? Then I found out he was a fucking patient, and I don't know, his whole vibe, it looked like they were back there doing experiments on him. I just didn't like it. You know, it was in this one of those fucking strip malls where it's like, hey, varicose veins, you want your taxes done? You know, and then some Asian thing that makes noodles. It's like, I'm going to have some medical procedure here. I'm not doing this shit. So, my gut was screaming at me the second I walked in there. But, I don't know. I fucking was laughing the whole way out to my truck. They go, it's because of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, you don't work here. She had to put her head down and then she mumbled something, trying to pull victory out of that fucking devastating defeat. Who's kidding? Who? It wasn't devastating to her. She probably whined about it and somebody bought her a new iPhone, you know, because they think that they're going to fuck her, you know. Anyways, I was actually telling a buddy of mine that. He was going, man, I hope my daughter doesn't end up like that. I said, nah, you already would have saw it. She's 3 years old. You can tell if your kid's going to be a dope or not by the time they're three. You know, I'm not saying you can't tell if they're going to be on drugs or make a bad choice in their teens, but you can tell whether or not you actually got somebody who got the A brain, you know. And I'm not talking fucking Einstein. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're on point. They're talking to you. They're locked in. You're giving them information. They're processing it, you know. And then you got the B brain, those almost smart people. They're the funniest people because they, in some way, they kind of know they're dumb. You know, because straight up dumb people don't know they're dumb. They just always think that they're getting fucked. Which is why they have that dumb look on their face. That's why their jaw is always hanging open and their brows kind of furrowed. Because they can't figure out what the fuck happened, you know. But if somebody gets the B brain, they actually know that they're kind of dumb. And you see them catching themselves, and then they look around the table like, wow, did anybody just catch that? And there's an intelligence in that, and that's why I grade them as a B, right? And right now, you guys should be sitting there going, Bill, we obviously know that you actually are so fucking arrogant that you think that you got the A brain, which right there immediately knocks you down to at least a B, because anybody who's truly intelligent doesn't think they are. They think they're a fucking moron. I almost got lost in all that. Anyways, speaking of being a fucking moron, did you see what Jason Pierre-Paul did? And God knows, I know even with nine fingers, this guy could still throw me over my house. But what the fuck are you doing? What were you lighting off that blew off your finger? I don't understand people that, like, it's the 4th of July. I get it. A couple of bottle rockets. Have a Roman candle fight. You know, put on some goggles. I get it. A little grab ass with some fireworks. Who gives it? But these people who like fucking go to like military grade shit. You know what I mean? What the fuck did you light off that you made the decision that, you know what, just amputate my finger. I got to get back out on the field. Oh my God, that's a bad finger to fucking lose to. That's second in command to the thumb. Like, the thumb's the headliner, the index finger, right? That's the feature act. I'd say the middle finger is the host, and then your ring finger and your pinky are doing guest spots, right? They're not getting paid. They're doing guest spots, right? Anyways, and so he blew off, there's no feature act anymore. So now he basically has like a lobster claw. No, lobster claw would be if they were all fucking together. I don't know, man. But all I know is he had three options with the finger, and one of them was amputated. And, I mean, hey, I like playing football. I liked when I was a kid, but, you know, I like playing drums, too. But I would never, I'd be like, you know what, why don't we wait a minute and sew this fucking thing on? You know, see how it goes. Before I just said, you know what, fuck it. You know what's going to be funny is his custom gloves they have to make during the wintertime. Those four-fingered ones. He's got like a Bart Simpson hand now, you know, because animation, they always have those things. I don't know. Why am I joking about something so horrific? I just, you know what it is? It's because he just made the decision to say, fuck it, just cut the fucking thing off. Now, granted, as like most people, when it comes to this story, I have absolutely no information other than, you know, somebody texted me and said JPP had his index finger amputated. I don't know. All I know is that every NFL contract from here on out now has that in worded somewhere in there, if they didn't already. I know you're not allowed to ride a motorcycle. I don't think fly a private, fly yourself like a pilot's license or something. You're not allowed to do any of that shit. Probably after Larry Bird, if you're taller than 6'6", you're not allowed to blacktop your parents' fucking driveway. I don't know. What the fuck? You know what's funny about the Giants? They can beat the fucking Patriots, but Jesus Christ. They can't get through a fucking offseason without just somebody doing something, right? I was just talking to Verzi about that. He goes, Jesus Christ, you know, they're fucking shooting themselves in the legs, fucking cutting their fingers off. But I'll tell you, when it counts, they beat them Patriots. And you know what? I don't give a shit because we won our fourth, and I'll take 4 out of 6. I'll take 2 losses to the Giants for 4 out of 6. And speaking of that, speaking of Giants fans, I'm doing Rappaport's. I am Rappaport's podcast tomorrow, and I'm expecting that sad sack New York fan to come strong with the Giants shit talk, which would be great. It's like, yeah, but then we won another one, Michael. Then we won another one. We've won four. Since February of 2002, we've won 4 Super Bowls. We have won the most Super Bowls out of any team in the NFL. So I will take those 2 crushing losses to the Giants to win 4. I will make that trade any day of the week. And then to add 3 World Series, a Stanley Cup, and an NBA championship, doing all, and a soccer championship too, evidently. What are we, the Boston fucking Tea Parties? I don't even know what the hell we are. The Liberty? That's a fucking WNBA team. I have no idea, right? We won in 5 different sports. I mean, I'm going to hit him with the same shit. She'd be like, Michael, you have 10 teams in New York City, and you guys cannot, in any combination of 10 to win all 4 in 10 years, you just have not been able to do it ever. It's fucking pathetic. How many teams do you need to stay in step with Title Town, Boston, Massachusetts? That right there, that's a one-sided idea of what the fuck that I'm going to be talking about on his podcast. Also been playing a bunch of drums. I'm getting ready for, I'm doing the goddamn comedy jam up at the Montreal Comedy Festival. I'm going to be doing it 3 nights, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. I think the 20th, 21st. And 23rd, I'll be doing it. So I've been playing a lot of drums and just having a fucking great time. Just a great time. I have my summer off, you know, after all the traveling I did crisscrossing the land, I got like the summer off. And what I'm trying to do is not fill up every day with activities. Because that's what I end up doing. And then it ends up being unbelievably stressful. I mean, I don't have it off. I got to fucking punch up all these episodes of F is for Family. And I got to tell you, dude, it's coming together. It's coming together. And I've been watching a lot of animation, a lot of Archer, Bob's Burgers. What else did I watch? Those chickens that smoke weed. And I'm not even listening to the jokes. I'm looking at the movements because, you know, they always give you the lowest fucking budget ever when it comes to animation. So I'm trying to fucking see how with the limited movement, like on Archer, if you look at it, they really don't move that much, but you know, they just have the eyebrows going up, coming down, eyes squinting, you know, and an occasional fucking hand movement. So I'll be doing that. But still, that would feel like a vacation as opposed to fucking flying all around. Oh, by the way, did you guys check out Rolling Stone this week or whatever? Kim Kardashian's tits and Kim Kardashian are on the cover. And they got an article in there about this guy who all he does is fly around. That's all he does. He has not had a home. I don't know. I don't even get it. He's been in the air since August. In the air or at an airport waiting to connect since April of last year. You know, he'll spend the night at like a five-star hotel and then go right back to the airport. And he's sitting there saying how like he learned how to work the system. There's all these ins and outs and all that type of stuff. It's a really fascinating story because immediately I'm like going like, dude, who's getting fucked in this deal? You're not really living a life. But he turned it into a business where everybody gets advice from him now, and now he's allegedly a millionaire. So I think that sacrifice, he was able to do it. But it's a really, really interesting. I just don't understand it. Like this fucking guy, like he set the record crossing the Pacific Ocean like six times in like, I don't know how many days. That can't be healthy. Cannot be fucking healthy. But, you know, he flies like, you know, those double-decker Airbuses, they have this thing where you get your own apartment on one of them. And one of the Singapore Airlines was the first one that had it. And the ticket is $15,000. And this dude has so many miles, he gets it by himself. And he's sitting there acting like he's winning. But it's just like, dude, but you just, even, that's cool in the air. But if you had that as an apartment, you'd be like, this fucking sucks. I can't even breathe in here. Not to mention there's a camera on me at all fucking times, making sure I don't rub one out or fuck something in this bed, right? If you had that on the ground, you'd be like, this is fucked up. You have it in the air, you think this is the shit. But if all you're doing is living in the air, like, I don't know. But in the end, if he was a millionaire and he enjoyed it, I don't know. Check out the article. It's really, really fucking interesting. So we're winding down here on the podcast. I need you guys to help me out, if you could. I'm looking for a car, and Craigslist seems to be the best way to do it. I pretty much checked all of California. I'm looking for a 65 or 66 Ford Galaxy in Wimbledon white. And all I'm looking for is that it has a straight body, not all rusted out, none of that shit. The body's straight. And the interior is solid. Doesn't even have to be mint. As long as it's solid and looks like, you know, most everything is there. And then either no engine or a non-original engine. Because I just can't get myself to take the original numbers matching engine out of a car. I just can't fucking do it. That's what I'm looking for. I thought you could do a nationwide search on Craigslist, but you can't. You got to go state by state. So if you live in a state, check it out. You know, if you got time, if you don't, I understand, but that's what I'm looking for. And, just tweet at me, send me the links if you find one. Cause that's what I'm looking for. I got my truck back and it, you know, like I said, they rebuilt the whole engine, painted the thing that Ford blew and it's running like a top and the power steering just came in and then I'm waiting on the air conditioning. I'm gonna slap that fucking thing on and, that's gonna be my daily driver. And I've been driving it all over the place. I absolutely fucking love that truck. And all I want to do is just get a 65 Ford Galaxy and, you know, redo that thing. What I want to do is I want to have the underneath be 2015 and then up top be 1965 and just be able to drive that thing across country if I wanted to. Because I only got three gears in my truck. I mean, I could have switched it out, made it automatic or even just had a five-speed put in. But I just feel like shifting on the column's too fucking cool. So when I get on the highway, I just drive it like a granny. I'm in the first lane going like 50 miles an hour. Bill, no one gives a fuck. Well, I do. I give a fuck. So anyways, I'm still waiting for the advertising to come in here, huh? What am I up to? 29 minutes. That's it. That's my little fucking half hour. My little 30 minutes here with you. Oh, here's the reads. They came in. They came in. What do we got? You want to hear the funniest part of the podcast where I fucking read out loud. All right, Blue Apron. It's okay, you can admit it, everybody. The last thing anyone wants to do after work is wait in line at the grocery store, schlep home, and cook a complicated meal. An expensive, unhealthy takeout is hardly better. That's where the new service, Blue Apron, comes in. Blue Apron delivers five fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy, handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. No trips to the grocery store and no waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you'll learn to cook with special ingredients that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for date night. Not if she hears this copy. You spent $8 on me and you already got her home? Guys, this is the shit. Don't tell the ladies. Blue Apron is perfect for a date, cooking with friends, and they even offer family plans with kid-friendly ingredients so the whole family can eat well and have fun preparing the meals together. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories. Jesus Christ, I could use this. Per serving, and so tasty, you'd never know. That's a red flag. How is it 500 to 700 calories and it's so tasty? How is it so tasty? Are you loading it up with sugar and salt? Cooking takes half an hour. Shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new. They won't send the same meal twice. They won't send the same meal twice? So if I do it 30 days in a fucking row, what am I eating at that point? Ants? They work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and Blue Apron's experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals like chicken with lemon, sugar snap peas, mint and chive potatoes. I hate saying the names of food. Potatoes with spring onion hash and Indian curried zucchini with lentil salad and cherry tum chutney. Chutney? I don't know what it is. Whenever I hear the waitress or the waiter start saying the specials, it's like, will you stop fucking saying that shit? We have an Asian infused. Just go get me some chicken. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Check it out. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free. Oh, my God. You're like a broad here. You're getting a couple of free meals. And you don't have to do anything. By going to blueapron.com/burr. My treat. It's not my treat. It's their treat. Really, the first two meals are on Blue Apron when you go to blueapron.com/burr. Wait, and there's no obligations? Oh, my God. Hey, guys, you want to feel like a woman dating? Why don't you for a couple of a couple of meals? Here you go. Except nothing tries to fuck you. So that's the rub. So in a lot of ways, don't they deserve a free meal? I think that was progressive. All right, DraftKings, everybody. Baseball is in full swing. You can be part of the action right there all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Hey, why wait until the end of the season to get paid when you can win right now? You can win huge prizes every day at DraftKings. It's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, eight position players, and pick up your cash. That's it. Ask Peter from Colorado. How do we do that? How do we ask him? What the fuck, DraftKings? How do I ask Peter from Colorado? He's not here. And now you're just going to say, last year he won $1 million in one day. Peter who? What is his number? Simply by playing fantasy baseball at DraftKings. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. And hundreds of thousands of others, probably twice that number, have lost. Always remember that. So don't bet more than you can afford to lose. Now it's your turn. Call to action. New contestants start daily. So hurry to DraftKings.com right now. And hurry, use the promo code DEFENSE to play for free today. $10,000. Fantasy baseball contest. DraftKings.com, official partner of Major League Baseball. That's hilarious. It's bad if Pete Rose does it, but it's okay if you're sitting in the bleachers. Enter defense for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. To be annoying, that's the third time. DraftKings.com. And finally, Mile IQ. Driving for work is a double-edged sword. Either you're spending too much time tracking every mile, or you're guesstimating and end up losing money. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what this is about. And even then, your estimate falls about 20% short of what you could be deducting. Welcome to Mile IQ, the gold standard in mileage tracking. Oh, this is for truckers.
It's for them good old boys out there delivering the mac and cheese. MileQ is the only mileage tracker that detects, logs, and calculates your drive for you automatically. MileIQ is easy to use and keeps all your drives securely stored in the cloud. If you drive for work and you're not counting every single mile, then you're burning money every time you turn on the ignition. MileIQ does all the work, letting you focus on what's important. That's why they've got a 5-star rating in both the Google Play and the iTunes app stores. Stop wasting time manually tracking your miles and stop using money you should be redeeming. Try MileIQ for free today by texting BURR, B-U-R-R. I had to spell that out because truckers, BURR, like B-E-E-R, give me a BURR. No, BURR, B-U-R-R. To 89800. That's BURR. To 89800. That's for all the truckers out there. I always forgot. You know, maybe truckers do listen to this shit. I have no idea. I remember back in the day when I did the Opie and Anthony show on XM Satellite Radio. They used to have a bunch of truckers that listened. All right. So anyways, that is the podcast. Get yourself a free couple of meals at the Blue Bonnet Bowl or whatever the fuck they are. Blue Apron. Don't blow your fingers off. You know, and whatever the fuck else I said. All right, that's it. And here's some throwback shit from back in the day on the Monday Morning Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and you have a wonderful weekend, you cunts. Girl, you think you got it.
Dear Bill, recently I had to return some items at the mall. It was the day after Christmas, and I was with a girl I was dating. She wanted to return some shoes, so we went to the Journey store where the shoes were bought. When she got to the counter to return the shoes, the girl behind the counter asked her for her name, address, email, and phone number. Oh, my God. The amount of fucking people who actually give out that information. My girlfriend just gave the information over as soon as the girl asked for it. We were leaving the store. I remarked that I thought it was bullshit that she had to give away personal information to return a pair of shoes. She said it was not a big deal, but I didn't like it. All right. Why the fuck would you give somebody all that information? And just in case you're new to my podcast, just say you can say no. Can I, you know, I go out to buy shit all the time. Can I have your phone number? No. I don't even try to make it nice. I just say no. And then they go, oh, okay. You know, why do you feel like you got to give them their information? You're trying to buy something. I'm sorry, I can't sell you this unless I get your information. Well, then go fuck yourself. I'll buy it somewhere else. I don't even need it anyways. So anyways, he goes, next we go to American Eagle. You guys hit all the hot spot, huh? Then we went to Cinnabon. Next, we went to American Eagle, where I had to return a shirt that was a gift. There was a long line for returns. Why'd you return the shirt? Huh? Did it not fit, or was it ugly as hell, or was it both? As I was waiting in line, one of the employees comes up to me with a clipboard with a little form to fill out. Now, is anybody else kind of getting the prison camp vibe here? You know? You're standing in line to get processed, and there's a guy coming up. Und what is your name, please? Your phone number? I stopped the employee and asked her why she needed this information. And she says that it was to verify my purchase. How fucking dumb are people? You're going to verify my purchase? Well, here's the sales slips there, sweetheart. This verifies it. That's it. I don't know what to tell you. Why don't you and your clipboard, why don't you hold that clipboard between your little fucking beef curtains and take a fucking walk down the street? How about that, huh, sweetheart?
Sir, there's no reason to use that type of language. Go fuck yourself. Huh?
How about I fucking grab that ponytail and just, no, let's keep it clean this week, shall we, people? Anyway, he goes, before I could protest further, she said that I could just put my name on it. Oh, on the clipboard? When she walked away, I pulled out the gift receipt and said to my girlfriend, oh, here it is. Yeah, this is what verifies my purchase. Exactly. The clipboard employee wasn't as far away as I thought she was and heard me say, did I read that wrong? Yeah, heard me say this, and she began to explain further why I needed to give over the information. This is the part of the email I hate. He goes, I apologized and told her I realized it wasn't her and that it was just her company's policy that she was enforcing. She walked away again. I felt bad, so the next time I saw her, I apologized and said I realized that she was just doing her job, but she ignored me. She was probably pissed because it was the day after Christmas and I was causing her grief, but she could at least accept my apology, you bitch. I love how you go from being totally liberal and seeing somebody's fucking side of it to being, yeah, man up, you cunt. Anyway, I got up to the counter and there wasn't any further problems. The guy at the register just took my name and didn't ask me for anything. I felt as though I had a small victory against the big corporations. Then this week, I had to go back to the store to return a hat my girlfriend got. Did you guys not make Christmas lists? Or are all your relatives blind? This seems to be a lot of returning of gifts. This is hilarious. You're returning a hat that your girlfriend got you. Dude, how horrific was that hat? Can you please send me a picture of it if you took one before you returned it? Picture one of those plaid Charlie Chaplin hat. I had the receipt, but again, the girl at the register asked me for my address and phone number. I said I didn't want to give that information to her. Immediately, panic sets in on her face, and she says that I have to. I said that I didn't have to the day after Christmas, and I wasn't going to now. Good for you. She calls over a coworker, and they both get defensive and hold to the idea that I have to give over my information in order to return a stupid hat, even though I had my receipt. I asked why, and they let me slide. Why had they let me slide on this before? And they maintained that I had to give them my name, address, and phone number. So what did I do in the face of corporate opposition? I caved and I gave it to them. You fucking pussy. Dude, the second you saw the panic on their face, you knew that they were going to lose. All right? He goes, I just don't get it, Bill. Why is a receipt not enough nowadays? It is enough. They say they need our personal information to verify a purchase. They're not, dude. They're not. All right? All of that shit, all those little save, you know, you want to get one of our discount store. They're creating a file on you. They figure out what you want to buy, what they can market towards you. And then they take that information and they sell it to other fucking companies. Even though they say they're not going to, they sell your information. Your information gets up on the internet. And that's why there's all these creepy websites out there right now that have all this fucking information about you, about, you know, how many siblings you have, your brothers and sisters' names. They all use that information to fucking, I'm telling you. Don't give them your information. You don't have to give them your information. And people out there who just have this fucking attitude towards these corporations, just sitting there going like, well, you know, what do they got? You mean as long as you're not doing anything wrong? I mean, what do I care if they know where I live? What do I care? Just fucking morons. I've explained this shit till I'm blue in the face. And then I always get these emails from these people. I can't even. I said something the other day, you know, I was listening to sports radio, you know, because I'm a deep thinker, right? And this new guy got on sports radio out here in Los Angeles. And, you know, he does what most people do when they have nothing to say, which is they just go over the top arrogant. You know what I mean? Like he was talking about how he wanted to get some sort of sports coach or personality on the show, but he doubted he could get him as a guest because the guest hated him. And he goes, you know, because I disagreed with him on some. He was talking to a coach, and he was actually disagreeing with the fucking coach. He's disagreeing with the guy, and he goes, you know what the problem is? You know, he goes like, I'm just like such a good debater. I actually end up like convincing myself of my own opinion. He actually said that over the airwaves, and I just sort of muttered to myself that the confidence of morons is staggering. You know what I mean? Morons think they know everything. That's what makes them fucking morons. And like the emails I get with people who don't question this shit, Which is, I don't know, like last week when I went off on my little fucking rant there, just some of the fucking emails I get. It's like people are sending me shit that kind of is backing up what I'm saying and then telling me that I sound like I have tinfoil on my fucking head. Which, obviously, I am out of my fucking mind on some level. But I'm not out of my mind when I don't trust corporations. And I don't trust them when they say, we're not going to do anything with this information. The other day, I was in CVS and I go to buy something. And the lady asked me, did I have a save card? And I said, no. She said, do you want one? And I said, no. And she goes, well, that's okay. I'll just, and she swiped the fucking thing anyways. And I was like, lady, what did I just say to you? Now, see, if I use my credit card, they'd have my name and then to match up to that fucking number and what the hell I just bought and just a little bit more information about me. And my question to all you people who have this faith in these corporations, why does that person do that? Why are they so hell-bent on trying to make that corporation less money in that moment? They give me this card. You know, like everybody has those cards. So you're not saving any fucking money. It's just, it's a big fucking shell game to make it seem, ooh, look, you're saving money. What they're really doing, they're like, hey, look at this hand over here as you're giving them all your personal fucking information that they can then use to, at the very least, sell to other corporations to increase junk mail and also to limit your fucking level of privacy. The fact that they can put all that shit up in the goddamn internet. People have been sending me these random websites where they have like your name and your address, where you fucking live and all this type of shit. It's like, how do you think that they get all that information? Do you think there's somebody sitting there with a phone book and just typing all of this shit in? I don't know. I don't fucking know. Let's what kills me. If some fucking random creepy guy, you know, you're standing there waiting for the subway, came up to you, asked you what your name, your phone number, and your address was, would you give it to him? No. But for some reason, you're inside of a fucking store, and there's socks and sweaters, and somebody has a name tag. Now, all of a sudden, you give them total fucking trust. You're out of your mind. So, sir, don't cave in. All right? All you get, just say that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. I want to speak to the manager. What they're doing, it's not legal yet. It's not legal yet, but I can guarantee you there's somebody lobbying for it that in Washington. There's some sort of fucking high-powered lobbying group, I swear to God, is probably lobbying that from here on out, we need to have a law that if you're going to return a hat, you have to give us your name, your address, and your social security number just so there's not another 9/11. Could guarantee it. So, yeah, you don't have to. That's actually one of the highlights of my day. What I do now is when they say, do you have our little savey save card? And I say, no, I don't. Would you like one? No, I don't. I then say, and please don't swipe another one. You know? And then I try to pay with cash. I love cash. Cash is fucking anonymous. All you guys out there who are sitting there watching these commercials where they make it look like credit cards are so fucking easy. You're idiots. You're buying into exactly what they want you to buy into, which is a cashless society so they can keep track of where you are at all fucking times and every last fucking dime that you make so they can get their greedy little fucking hands on it. You're out of your mind and you're giving up an unbelievable amount of fucking privacy by creating a paper trail everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, what you're doing, where you're at, you know, and the sea of morons who are going to sit there and go, well, if you ain't doing anything wrong. I mean, I guess maybe I'm a paranoid psycho. You look at all these fucking idiots who do reality TVs and they let cameras come into their house and they don't seem to care about it. Maybe the average jackass doesn't give a shit. But sir, for the love of God, you know, in the end, he says, I'm not crying conspiracy. It's very plain to see what they're doing. It's not malicious or evil. Yes, it is. It is malicious and it is evil and it is a conspiracy. They're conspiring to get everybody's information
find out what they buy, and they're lying to you saying that they're not going to share the information. It's everything that you're saying it's not. It is. All right? And that's it. That's 2 weeks in a row I'm on the soapbox. See, people, don't you like it better when I talk about sports? Sent me this last thing I'll read you guys. This guy sent me something about, you know, I was talking about when you go in to go buy things and people ask for your phone number and all this fucking information, and it fucking creeps me out. Every time they do that, I just think that they should play in the beginning of that Iron Maiden song, The Prisoner. You remember that from the 80s? Do you remember how that thing went? Information. You remember this?
Information. Who are you?
The new number two. Who's number one? You are number six. Most psycho laugh ever.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Can you imagine if your fucking dad would laugh at you like that back in the day?
I am a free man.
Be like, son, how many beers did you have tonight? You're just like, I just had two. Right? And he just fucking, all of a sudden the lights start dimming, it's going to be over. So anyways, this fucking guy, did that make any sense, by the way? I don't know. I'm fucking sitting here with one microphone, no headphones, in a fucking hotel room. This is what you get. All right. So this guy said, Bill, can you believe how much fucking information people are willing to give away to strangers for no reason? He goes, I got my hair cut the other day, and the first thing they say to me before hello or what can I do for you is, the first thing out of the gate is, what's your phone number? So I say, why do you need my phone number? She says, so we know who you are when you come in. Which is bullshit, because they don't know you when you come in. They still have to ask what your goddamn number is. See, you gotta love someone who actually fucking uses their brain. So anyway, he says, I don't want to give you my number. So then she scoffs in his face and says, we don't send the information out to anyone. It's just to keep track of you here. That's it. And then she says, then the guy says, the guy wrote this really badly here. So then I guess he responds to, that doesn't make me feel any better. You don't need my phone number to cut my hair. Then this slag does this fine whatever that sounded exactly like your exaggerated impression of a dumb broad. Then she goes, how about your address? Dude, this is fucking, you know what? All these corporations are sharing this information to figure out exactly what you buy, when you buy it, what you like the best, so they can just fucking, I don't know what, you know, jack the prices of this shit up. So anyways, she goes, how about your address? And the guy goes, what are you going to do, drop the haircut off at my house? Just cut my fucking hair. Now there's three people in line behind me in this worthless tub of cum. Jesus. Leans around me and says, I guess to the people behind him, sorry this takes longer when they, then he writes they, you know, don't give any information. And then he says sarcastically, oh, I see. I'm the one complicating this transaction. And it's not even her fault. It's not even her fault. It's her corporate creep bosses and all the fucking sheep that let people do whatever they want. Sorry, this is so long. Well, you should apologize to my listeners because they had to listen to me read it. Yeah, man, don't give those people your fucking phone numbers. Don't give them your address. I do that. Can we get your phone number? No, you can't. We're not going to do anything with it. That's fine. That's fine. I know you're not going to do anything with it. I don't want you to have my phone number. What, are you going to call me up and see how my fucking haircut's going? Is it still short? Or do you think you need an adjustment? Did I tell you that story when I went into CVS? And that guy who looked with the Pee Wee Herman haircut, there was two foreigners in front of me. They barely spoke English. And he asked if they wanted one of those Save cards. And they said no. And he goes, that's all right. I'll just scan one anyways. And he scans it. So I walk up and I'm ready for this guy. He goes, do you have our little Save card? And I say, no, I don't. And he goes, well, I'll just scan it anyways. And I go, no, I don't want you to. And then he scanned it. And I said, excuse me, what did I just say to you? I just said I don't want that, and you scanned it anyways. Why did you just do that? And he goes, it's all right. I'll unscan it. And I go, what do you get, like half a cent for every person that you get, you know, that you get on the fucking list there?
And he goes, no, I don't. And it's like, really? Is that why you can't make eye contact with me, you fucking piece of shit? He probably didn't even unscan the goddamn thing. You know, I don't understand people who help out corporations. I just don't. Have they done anything to demonstrate that they give a flying fuck about you or the drinking water in your town? Don't help those cunts. I mean, you can if you want to, but that's, I would just, I think it would be a better world if these fucking pricks did know every goddamn thing about you. You know, pretty soon you're going to walk in there and they're going to fucking ask if you can put a, if they can just bug you like Gene Hackman in The Conversation, right? All right, dude, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what? I'm going to go down and we'll listen to this lady sing her songs so I don't have to think. There's a nice little crowd down there. There's got to be at least 26 people down there, which I think in downtown San Jose actually constitutes a mob. Maybe somebody will get tased and shot in the abdomen. I don't know what. All right, that's the podcast for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am currently revamping my website, and I hope that everything's going to be up to speed. I recently went over 10,000 people on my mailing list, so I'm really excited about that. And if you want to know what's going on, you know, especially if you see, you know, when I switched over to Libsyn with the podcast and all that fucking shit, if you were out of the loop, it's because you weren't on my mailing list. I'm not sure. You know, how funny is this? How funny is this? How fucking hypocritical am I? I just said don't give your phone number out to these cunts, and now here I am asking for your web address. I really did. Why do you people listen to this? I'm an idiot. All right, I'll talk to you next week.